A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" For years now, I've been on the bandwagon of clear communication. First as a writing teacher and now as someone who teaches homiletics, there are a few things that irk me more than mixed messages. A few years ago, I heard a newspaper editor bemoaning the muddy mess of facts that one of the reporters had turned in. "That's not right," he said. "That's not even wrong." Mixed messages, muddied messages, even contradictory messages. Today's lectionary reading seemed to present us with such a puzzlement. In the first reading from Deuteronomy, we hear loud and clear, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life then, that you and your descendants might live." And then in the gospel, we hear, "Pick up your cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it." Choose life, pick up the cross. Choose life, pick up the cross. Here we stand at the start of what many think of as an ecclesial new year, ready to make our resolutions. So which is it, good God? Choose life, pick up the cross, make up your mind. And then I thought of a story I saw a few weeks ago in the news of a mother and her teenage daughter marching together in Washington, D.C. at the annual March for Life. The mother spoke of being terrified when she first found out she was pregnant, unsure how she would ever care for a baby as a single mom, afraid of her parents' reactions, afraid of her future. She came within hours of terminating that pregnancy when she found within herself the courage to go on. In that moment, choosing life and picking up a cross, two options that seemed diametrically opposed, merged into one mystery. Most of us probably haven't encountered that mystery quite so literally as this woman did. But I have no doubt whatsoever that there are times in your life as well when choosing to do what's right requires tremendous personal sacrifice, yet simultaneously touches what's deepest and truest and most real, and ultimately bears life for others. Times when Christ's promise of abundant life feels an awful lot like losing the one that you have. And at the bottom of the gut, you discover the courage to do it anyway. And in the history of the church, this mystery, it has a name, the Paschal Mystery. Pick up your cross and choose life. The danger is that this conversation could go south really fast, and it often has. Sometimes we have wielded this mystery like it was a magic wand. "Hey, you over there, transformative suffering, now!" We've judged those who don't suffer in the spirit we think they ought. We've named people's crosses for them. We've told them which sufferings were their lot in life and that they ought to bear. And we've condemned those who couldn't go on and who made bad choices. And in doing so, we've often overlooked perhaps the most critical word in this Paschal formula of pick up your cross and choose life, which I think is that word choose. There's a terrible amount of suffering in the world. This one woman's story was just the edge of it. There's cancer. There's Alzheimer's, there's child abuse and rape, there's domestic violence and alcoholism and divorce, there's rage, earthquakes and mudslides, flood and foreclosures. And while we acknowledge that God permits this, we wouldn't say that God desires it or wills it. None of it is caused by God. None of it is of God. And none of it is inherently redemptive. Some people will suffer tragedies their whole long life long and never find any good in any of it, because there is no good in suffering. They will not become more human through it. Indeed, their humanity will be diminished by it. Suffering in itself is not redemptive. Suffering only becomes redemptive when choice is involved. When the human person, through the goodness of God, is able to choose how they're going to respond to the suffering. When instead of becoming bitter or shriveled, the person instead allows the suffering to make them more empathetic. When instead of retreating into isolation, the person decides to reach out to others. When instead of allowing suffering to make one opaque, guarded, protected, the person allows suffering to make one transparent, even translucent. God is not in the great wind, the earthquake, the fire. And God is not in the cross. God is in the still small voice. God is in the choice. God is in the one who decided not to flee, but to hang there. And so now this woman was marching with this teenage daughter, the one whom she had come so close to aborting. And she says now that she's still terrified. Terrified to think how impoverished her life would have been without this child, with whom she now enjoys one of the most deep, meaningful relationships in her life, who she has now largely been determined, her life has been determined by, because God helped her choose to receive this daughter as a gift. And realizing that, it strikes me that the proper response to Paschal Mystery is not to exhort that it happen where it does not, but to celebrate that it happens when it does. To celebrate the goodness of a God who in every age and place still stirs the human spirit to embrace life in the midst of suffering. In the Syrian family who begins to rebuild a shattered life from scratch. In the woman who screws up the courage to leave that abusive husband once and for all. In the religious who struggles to be faithful to vows made with zealous naivete so long ago, in every mother who crawls out of bed, and ultimately in Jesus Christ, who laid down his life so that he could take it up again. Every Eucharist all year long is a celebration of this Paschal mystery. But there's a most particular way in the season of Lent that this season calls us to choose, to invite God into the space of our suffering, whatever suffering that might be, and transform it, that it might become redemptive. In this holy season, let us celebrate and welcome God into our still small choices.